In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. We were thrilled. This was everything we had been waiting for. Even since the time we were little children, this had been our hope. The Messiah, the Christ, marching into Jerusalem, the moment of the kingdom of God. The time when the Roman Empire would be vanquished and destroyed and driven off the face of the earth, and Israel would be lifted up on the mountain of the Lord, high above everything else. God's kingdom come through his Christ, his Messiah. So as you can imagine, we were rejoicing. We were singing, we were chanting psalms, we were waving palm branches. We had thrown our coats and shirts on the road because Jesus was coming through. And all of the symbolism was there, rich from the prophet Zechariah. Jesus had ordered us to get a donkey, and we knew it. Just as the prophet Zechariah had foretold in chapter 9, this was the messianic moment where God was going to enter Jerusalem and fight for his people. And so we rallied all the crowds as we had gotten the donkey for Jesus, and here we were, riding up into Jerusalem, approaching the gates into the east side of the temple complex, Solomon's porch, the glory of this temple. Grander than Solomon had built it. Herod the Great, we had been working with him for the last 40 plus years, building up this complex into a stone edifice to be rivaled throughout the ancient world. This was our pride and joy. This was the fortress by which God's kingdom would come, by which we would make our stand. We were thrilled. But something wasn't quite right. We tried to ignore it, but when we would look at Jesus on the donkey, he was crying. It was a strange juxtaposition to everything that we were feeling. And we tried to ignore it because we didn't want him to be a Debbie Downer in the midst of this, our greatest moment. But he was weeping. We hadn't seen such open weeping from him before. And it was a strange juxtaposition of emotions. And those who were close enough to hear it heard him talking, praying over Jerusalem, weeping over Jerusalem. Something about armies surrounding her. Something about every single stone within her getting ripped down. We tried to drive it out of our minds, but then as we entered into Jerusalem, it was brought back to our attention. After Jesus had shut down and taken over the temple complex, we were still on board. This was the way the Messiah was supposed to operate. But then his preaching, his teaching challenged us. A parable he told us about God's people. He said that we were a vineyard, an orchard, that God had planted us and given us a task. And that the Lord had sent us repeated servants, repeated prophets to come and warn us from our paths of self-destruction. And we had beaten, killed, thrown out these prophets, these servants. And then Jesus said the Son would arrive and he would be killed by his own people. Confusion. And then when he had gathered with us on the Mount of Olives, staring over at the temple complex, he had these ominous words for us saying, not a single stone of what you see will be left on another. We were confused because we had been praising the Jerusalem temple the whole day. We had been pointing it out to everyone there. Look at these marvelous stones. 40 feet length, 15 feet high, giant stones that take an army of men to move. Look at this beautiful complex, the beautiful work of our human hands, the glory of Israel. But Jesus insisted not one stone would be left on another. Everything, he said, would be torn down. What were we to do with this? He said armies would surround Jerusalem. War would come. And all the daughters of Jerusalem would feel and experience a terrible fate. She would be torn down to the ground in a complete heap of rubble. But then he had insisted. He said, "This, however, is the moment you should wake up." He said, "This is the moment that you should lift up your heads." He said, "For your salvation is at hand." We were trying to rack our brains, thinking of all of the prophetic words we had learned as children and into our adulthood. Different things that popped into our minds, we thought back to Isaiah chapter 6. And Isaiah's ministry of how he had been given the task to harden the people's hearts. Deafen their ears, blind their eyes, until when? Isaiah had asked the Lord when. And the Lord had said, when everything is finally laid waste. When the houses are completely abandoned, when the land is desolated, then the restoration will come. We thought of other prophecies in Isaiah of the tree being chopped down completely to the roots. We remember John the Baptist preaching the same thing to us about the axe was at the root of the tree. But Isaiah had told us then once the tree is cut down from the stump, new life will come. We remembered the prophet Jeremiah, how he had warned the false prophets of his day, saying, "Don't preach peace to Jerusalem. No, you say peace, peace. There is no peace." And Jeremiah had warned them, everything that Solomon has built is coming down. It will be destroyed by the Babylonian Empire. Sounded familiar. And then we remembered the prophet Daniel, after Jeremiah, after Solomon's temple had come down, the prophet Daniel warning our people. He said, 490 years of exile you will experience if you rebuild Jerusalem and her walls. Daniel had warned us that the temple would be torn down. He had warned us that the Messiah would be cut off. We have been hiding from this our whole lives. But clearly this is what Jesus was wanting us to see. That in this moment, as we waltzed into Jerusalem, this wasn't the triumphant moment that we had been anticipating. It was something far different. This was the precursor to the great collapse of everything we had been investing in for 490 years. A temple system that had become a heart of idolatry. A city that had become a fortress with grand walls to protect ourselves from the outside world. Jesus was telling us this was going to be torn down. And he was weeping. He didn't want this fate to come, but we had been so reluctant to listen to the prophets, one prophet after another, begging us to wake up, come out of our slumber of investing in all of our man-made dreams and idols of how we were going to remake the world in our grand political and economic vision. No, Jesus said, this must be torn down stone from stone. But he said, in that moment, as you stand in the heap of rubble, lift up your heads, because your moment of salvation has come. Not one stone will be left on another. May the stones of our society get torn down. May the stones of our culture get ripped down. May the stones of civilization itself across the world come tumbling down. May our communal fortresses that we build up to protect ourselves get ripped down. May our individual walls and fortresses that we hide behind psychologically and spiritually, may those stones get torn down. Not one stone of these fortresses, whether physical fortresses, spiritual fortresses, psychological, emotional fortresses that we hide within, not a single stone will be left standing. All will be torn down. But Jesus says, in the midst of that moment, where we've lost all the dreams we've invested in, all the plans that we've been chasing blindly our entire lives, he says, wake up. You'd been looking for victory. This is your victory. As you lose your lives, this is your moment of salvation. As everything around you is destroyed, this is God's moment of new creation. So as the stones of our culture tumble around us, may they continue to tumble. May the stones of our own personal fortresses continue to tumble. May the Lord attack our fortresses, surround them, siege them, and tear them down. So that as we are left exposed, naked, vulnerable again, that we would wake up. Lift up our heads and see that this is the moment of our salvation. A new creation, not built with human hands. A new creation, not built by our own egos. A new creation where the wolf and the lamb can lie down together. A new creation where people of different nations come together in love. Where enemies no longer exist because we turn the other cheek. Where there's no longer a battle for resources because we share all that we have. A new creation is dawning in the midst of the rubble. So may the Lord tear our stones down and rebuild his new world. Spiritual stones. A new life. May we be those new stones. A temple to God's great glory. This is his kingdom come. Amen.